Hey, what's up?
Not much. How you doing?
All right. Hanging in there.
Oops.
So we're back after a long vacation.
Yeah, it is pretty long. I was just looking into it yesterday because I was thinking we hadn't even recorded this year, but at least we did a show in April, but that still seems like an awfully long time ago.
It's been a while. Well, do you have any news in the ensuing months?
Yeah, there were a couple stories that I wanted to talk about, and of course I've forgotten all of them. I know that an acetate of the Decca demo sessions was uncovered, which is supposed to be like great quality audio of the entire Decca sessions, and that was auctioned recently. And there's another official Beatle product coming out. In about a month. And that's the Hollywood Bowl concerts are going to be released for the first time on CD.
And the new documentary by Ron Howard, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's going to accompany that. Beatles Live or something, I think is the name of it.
Yeah, it should be interesting.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's coming on Hulu exclusively.
Yeah, well, it's going to be released in a limited amount of theaters, probably not around here, and it's also going to be on Hulu. So I have a feeling I'm not going to see it until it comes out on Blu-ray in a half a year or whatever.
Well, it'll probably be on iTunes, too, I would imagine. The Pure McCartney compilation came out in June. Have you looked into that?
No, I haven't listened to it because I've already heard it.
Yeah, it's just a huge playlist, nothing special. And no songs from Flowers in the Dirt. I guess that's the next remastered release.
Oh, is it? Have you heard that?
Yeah, I read that in an interview with Paul a couple of months ago. So that'll be out by the end of the year.
Great.
All right, well, other than that, any tour news?
I was just looking up the Ron Howard film. I got the title wrong. I think the CD is called The Beatles Live, but the movie's called 8 Days a Week. The Touring Years. I should have remembered that. And the movie will come out on September 16th. You might have already said that. And it'll be available on Hulu the next day, the 17th.
Well, that's cool. I'm looking forward to that. Should be fun. In addition to the new Hollywood Bowl CD, which is supposed to be all remastered. Hopefully it sounds better, right?
Yeah, well, I don't think they can do too much with the sound, though, because it's only a 3-track recording. So it's, you know, it's going to sound as good as the original tapes. I don't think they can do too much to it.
Supposed to be some added songs that wasn't released on the album years ago.
Yeah, because the record is a compilation of 2 concerts, and I think they're going to release all 3 concerts entirely, I think, or they could just be adding more songs from the 3rd concert.
Well, do you have any tour news?
No, I haven't been paying attention to the tour.
All right, well, I think he's playing MetLife Stadium tonight, which is, today's date is what?
7th.
Yeah, tonight he's playing MetLife. And then another show tomorrow night, and I think he's off until Friday, and then Grand Rapids on the 15th. First time in Grand Rapids.
Yeah. And that's where you're going, right?
Yep. That's the big show.
So if we continue this, you can give us a concert update.
I will do
in a future episode.
So this week we're doing New, which is the 2013 release. The last new album, ironically. What did you think of this album?
I think I mentioned before that I've had this album for a while and never really listened to it. And so my first exposure of the songs was hearing them live, the 3 songs. I think he did 3 songs. So apart from New, the title track, which was released before the album came out, and I did hear that. I heard it on SoundCloud, and I liked it. I liked the title track. And overall, there's a lot to like about this album, but maybe I'm just too conscious of the fact that he used four separate producers, but the album just doesn't really hang together for me. Maybe that's just my fault for knowing the behind-the-scenes story of the album's recording or production.
Was it a troubled? I don't think it was a troubled production.
No, it's just he used four separate producers, and it just seems like the songs don't gel. It just seems like a compilation of songs from four different producers.
I liked it a lot, but let's get into it. The title, the first track is Save Us. It's one of the ones he played live. What'd you think of that? It's a pretty good straightforward short rocker.
Yeah, it's a great way to start the album. Really, really kicks into it.
Yeah, it sounds great. The band sounds great, and I think this is the one where I'm looking to see if Rusty and Brian Ray and Abe Laboral played on it, but I'm not seeing it on the personnel liner notes, so maybe they didn't play on it. But it sure sounds like they did. It's a pretty good jam. I enjoy it. One of my favorites. It's one of my favorite on the album, and it's on Pure McCartney as well.
Now, yeah, it doesn't look like his band. It looks like it's just Paul and Paul Epworth.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Doing everything.
Which is, that's cool too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a great guitar line, good bass line. Drums are great. It just sounds great. Good song. And like you said, a perfect way to start out. Second song is Alligator. That's a weird one. What'd you think?
Yeah, it is pretty weird. And I also noticed that Paul is asking to be saved during this song, too, in the second verse. And it's just really strange. He wants someone he can give his alligator to when he comes home from the zoo. So it's a song about stealing animals from the zoo, apparently. And it's got some strange harpsichord and calliope sounds and rumbly drums. I also noted that.
It has the weird sound at the beginning. I don't even know what instrument it is, but the song's all right, though. I think it's catchy. I don't think it's bad. But it's not the best on the album, but I don't skip it. So I guess that's how I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
On My Way to Work. Produced by George Martin's son, Giles Martin. What'd you think?
This is the kind of song that I don't like, where it's just kind of sing-song, and also the lyrics sound like he just dictated them, looking out his window, practically.
Yeah, that's the vibe, yeah.
But it's okay. It's an okay song, but it's not one of my favorites.
I like the music a lot. I'm not sure how I feel about the lyrics. But you're right. It's just an observational piece. Nothing special. But I don't skip it either, so I'm not opposed to it. Queenie Eye, which was the second or third single, continues to play this live. What'd you think?
Yeah, it's a good song. Although I really don't like the part where it slows down, because I think it really ruins the song.
Really?
Yeah, where it sounds like he's underwater. And I just don't like it. It really kills the song. And it even takes a while for the song to build back up to the way it started. I also got a kick out of the O-U-T spells out lyric or line, because it reminded me of the old Beatles Christmas albums. Because they say that, I think it's during the last one, like the 1967 Christmas record, they say O-U-T spells out as part of the lyrics to Christmas Time Is Here Again. Christmas time is here again.
O-U-T spells out. Okay.
So that was kind of fun. But I guess the O-U-T spells out dates back to their childhood. It goes way further than the Beatles Christmas record. Paul McCartney talked about that in an interview on YouTube.
Queenie Eye came from a kids game, a street game we used to play in Liverpool when I was a kid. There'd be someone at the front and they'd throw a ball over their head and one of us would catch it and then you'd hide it. And then that person who was kind of queenie-eyed would turn around and have to discover who got the ball. So we had to say, queenie-eyed, who's got the ball? I haven't got it. It isn't in my pocket. O-U-T spells out. And you know, those kind of things stick with you, you know. So I've always remembered that, but I like the rhythm. Queenie-eyed, who's got the ball? I haven't got it. It isn't in my pocket. I've always liked the rhythm of that. It's kind of cool rhythm. It's the story of queenie-eyed.
Well, the big song on this album, I think it's my second favorite, Early Days. The great acoustic number, a kiss off to all the people that think they don't, they think they know what happened during all the productions of all the albums. And he's basically saying there's only a couple people that know, and it's him and George and Ringo and John. What'd you think?
Yeah, it's a great song. It's Paul looking back again, just like he did on the last album. But he's also, like you said, he's talking to the critics and saying, you might think you know from your research, but only we know. We know exactly what it was like and how people can't take his memories from him. And I also liked the simple production because it's just guitar and drums, kind of. And a problem that I have with a lot of these songs is the producers really wanted to go overboard and prove themselves. So they put all sorts of fiddly things and weird noises and synthesizer drones and digital effects. And I really like this song just because it's so simple.
Yeah, this song sounds great. This is also on the Pure McCartney compilation. Number five, New, which was the lead-off single you talked briefly about. What'd you think?
Yeah, I liked the song when I first heard it, and it's my favorite song on the album still. I really like it. It's like classic McCartney. People might hate it because it sounds so similar to other songs that he's written, but that's what I like about it. It shows that style doesn't go out of style.
No, yeah, this song is definitely a throwback, even a Beatles-era song, maybe. It's a lot of fun. And who plays on this one? This is track six. Looks like we get the band on this one.
Yeah, I was pretty sure it was the full band because I know it's them doing the harmonies at the end.
Yeah, this is fun.
Harmonies.
It's a good jam. And it's a good lead-off single, I think. Yeah, it really showed what a strength on the album. Number seven is also produced, Appreciate, also produced by Giles Martin. What'd you think of that one?
I didn't care for it at first, but it's really grown on me. And it makes me think of Gratitude, because it's just Paul saying a multi-syllable word slowly, and so that might be his recipe for new songs. He'll just come up with any three or four syllable word and just over enunciate it, and that'll be the next song on the next album.
Yeah, this definitely is a Gratitude crib. Yeah, it's definitely it's all right though, but it's not my favorite on the album. But you're right, it definitely for sure reminds me of Gratitude, which I don't think I like that much on Memory Almost Full. But it kind of works here.
It's grown on me. This song really has grown on me because I dismissed it when I first heard it way back when I first prepared for the recording of this show.
If I had to take one out of the two of Alligator and Appreciate, I'll go with Alligator. But I'm not going to skip this song either. I don't skip anything on here. Everybody out there, this is kind of like tailor-made for a live sing-along.
Yeah. Hey!
Apparently, it's never caught on.
Yeah, I wonder why not.
What did you think of it? It's kind of cool.
It's easy to overlook, and I had a tough problem remembering this song. There's really not a lot to it, but it is kind of rousing. It's a loud song. It's more of a rocker, which is good, but it's just kind of repetitive.
Yeah, but it's like I said, it's kind of tailor-made for a live audience.
Yeah, exactly.
Hosanna. Sing Hosanna. produced by Johns. Who's his first name?
Ethan Johns.
Yeah, this is a pretty good song. I like it. It's got a slower vibe to it. I think the lyrics are pretty good. I don't skip this one either. I mean, I like this song. I'm giving it a thumbs up. It's got a good, an eerie sound to it in some parts. I like it. What'd you think?
Yeah, I don't know why it sounds so eerie. It's got that foreboding drone all the way through it.
And yeah.
It doesn't seem like it needs it. Because it's
no.
I sing Hosanna to the morning sun. It should be like uplifting.
Right.
But it's like, meanwhile, while Paul is singing Hosanna, something's sneaking up on him.
Right, it's very creepy.
And there are little digital chirps in the middle and end, and that kind of reminds me of Tomorrow Never Knows.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I like this song, though. Now, I think the weakest one on here is I Can Bet.
I can bet. I can bet. I can bet you'll never guess.
If there's ever a skipper, this is it. What'd you think?
I was thinking that Paul sounds excellent on this song. His vocals sound like the old days because the song has such a limited range.
Right.
And so that's the overall feeling I had was that Paul sounded great. It's a rock song, but there's not a lot to it. But I was just really impressed by how good Paul sounds when he doesn't. When he keeps his range limited.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. Vocally, it's very good. Because on early days, he breaks a couple times. You know, the falsetto, like we talked about in previous shows, he's lost a lot of that range.
Yeah.
But this one, I think if he lowered the key on a lot of the songs he sings live, he would be able to do them better.
Maybe Paul should get in a rap, because then you don't have to sing at all.
Looking at Her, which I don't remember a thing about, so I'm hoping you can tell me something.
It starts with a heavy vibrato guitar, and the vocals initially start whispery, and the chorus, when he sings, she's good, so fine, she's sweet as wine, I keep expecting to break into, but I'm still wondering why, from Beautiful Night. I can't stop thinking he's going to start singing that, and it's going to be like a medley instead of just a song.
Did you like it?
It's all right.
Yeah, it hasn't made it. I've listened to this album, I don't know how many times as I bought it over the last several years. I don't remember this one at all.
I don't think there are any skippable songs on this. There's nothing that I'd want to avoid, but there are a lot of songs that don't seem to hit the target for me, that are just kind of there. Filler, I guess, is the term for them.
I mean, if there's only one I would skip, which is I Can Bet, but even that isn't that bad. It's still good. It says there's a hidden track here called Road.
Really? I thought the hidden track was after Road.
Yeah, it's saying hidden includes Scared as
yeah.
hidden track.
Road is the song, and then there's like 10-second pause, and then Scared starts. So Road is the final track.
So what'd you think of Scared?
Hey, you're skipping it. Road is the first one.
Well, I know, but I want to know more about the hidden track. What'd you think of that?
It's basically Paul on piano, and of course they can't resist adding some digital noises to it. So there's a high frequency drone. And that's about all I wrote down. It's just Paul on piano, basically.
Yeah, it's not like bang your head or whatever that. Nod your head.
Nod your head, no. It's not like that. Actually, it's kind of the reverse, because Scared is more like the end of the end.
The end of what?
The end of the end. Isn't that the name of the song?
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I agree with you. So there's a couple of additions on this, but were there any bonus tracks that you know of?
There are three bonus tracks, and the only way to get all three bonus tracks plus Scared is on the Japanese edition. The deluxe edition in America just has two extra songs.
What were they?
But I think Scared becomes its own track, so it looks like you get three extra songs. if that makes sense.
What were the songs? Have you heard them?
Yeah, I got them. One of them is called Turned Out, and it's a okay song. It's kind of peppy, and the lyric is a good thing it turned out to be. And the other bonus track is called Get Me Out of Here, and it's kind of recorded like an archival blues recording.
Yeah.
His vocal sounds like it came off a cassette. It's deliberately made to sound old and tinny. But the...
I've heard that one.
The orchestration it doesn't have that effect on it, so it's really strange.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to sound like an old blues song, and he just keeps repeating, get me out of here. And then he says, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, which I thought was going to be a dated reference, but it turns out that show is still on the air in the UK.
There you go. I like that song. I know I have it on my edition I bought. I didn't know that was a bonus track.
Yep. Yeah, they basically took the two bonus tracks and stuffed them in the middle between Road and Scared.
So what is these two tracks I'm reading about? It says Hell to Pay and Demons Dance.
Don't know about those. The Japanese track is called Struggle.
Yeah, I see that here too. This must be the something to hear about a Japanese CD with these two tracks and then Struggle, like you mentioned.
Yeah, that's the Japanese edition. The two other songs you mentioned, maybe they're B-sides or maybe demos.
Yeah, I don't know. Never heard them. Have you heard them?
No.
It must be out there somewhere.
Could be.
Well, this album sold pretty well and peaked at number 3 on the UK charts and on the Billboard 200. And it sold pretty well as well, 215,000 copies here in the U.S. So I'd consider this a success for him.
Yeah.
But no new music since then. What do you make of that?
It is surprising, but then again, I don't know. I keep fearing that his voice is shot, so maybe it's a good thing that he isn't recording anything. But then again, he sounded really good on that... Hope for the Future song, I thought.
Yeah, he did sound good on that. Yeah, I read somewhere that fans are now starting to think he should just stop touring and concentrate on recording, save his voice for recording. That's not going to happen, though. We talked about that off air, is it?
Well, yeah, I don't know. If he has some inspiration to get into the studio, then maybe he will curtail his touring. I think by this time he knows better. He knows more about it than we do, than the general public does on how Paul McCartney should operate. He might need help in the romance world, but as far as writing and recording, I think he knows best.
But we agree that he loves performing and is probably not going to give it up.
No, not entirely, but yeah. But I'm saying if he's got enough songs in the bank that he wants to record something, I'm sure he'll put touring off for a while and concentrate on recording.
Yeah, I think we deserve a new album other than a remastered Flowers in the Dirt, but...
Yeah, or a 4-CD collection of old songs.
Yeah, and only, what, I think there might have been only two Back to the Egg. I know Arrow Through Me was on Pure McCartney, but I can't remember the other. It might have been one more. And he claims he hadn't heard that song since it was recorded back in 1979. Have you had a chance to hear any of his podcast interviews lately?
I heard the two that you mentioned, the BBC one and All Songs Considered. I did listen to those.
Yeah, those are pretty cool. I enjoyed both of those. Well, before we get out of here, this is the 50th anniversary of Revolver. And do you have anything to... add to that?
It's also on this day, this very day, August 7th, is the anniversary of the release of Help in the UK in 1965, so that's 51 years. And Help was released in the US on August 13th, by the way. And this is also the anniversary of Pete Best being asked to join the band. That was in 1960. And I enjoyed that little bit of trivia because Pete Best is the only Beatles autograph I have.
Well, he's considered a Beatle.
Yep, very much so.
You've got one.
I have one Beatles autograph, and it happens to be Pete Best.
So what are your feelings about Revolver? Because it's been in the news a lot.
Revolver's a great album. a lot of people's favorites because it's like the anti-Sergeant Pepper contingent is very vocal about their love of Revolver. And it's a great album. It really is a great album. It's got great songs. It's got some great pop songs. It's got some great rock songs. It's got some great instrumental songs. It's got some great world music songs. It's got everything.
Yeah, it is a pretty strong album, and it's definitely the anti-Sergeant Pepper, you're right. Yeah, it's a hell of an album, but there's some great harmonies between John and Paul on there, and I think a lot of people overlook those, because I've been listening to a lot of podcasts about it the last couple of weeks, and while they give McCartney a lot of praise, they don't mention how good their voices sound together on the so-called John songs. Everybody's talking about it, but they're not doing anything special. I do know that the Eleanor Rigby video was released exclusively on Apple Music this weekend.
Oh, really?
But I haven't watched it yet. I don't know what that's all about, but it looks like a Yellow Submarine throwback, you know, the cartoon album. It looks like that type of animation. Well, you got anything else?
I just read that Ringo Starr reveals he voted for Brexit, exit of the European Union, because he said, "I didn't see the EU going anywhere." That was his reason.
Yeah, I read that a couple weeks ago. But he's going to be playing some dates in South Korea. Which will be the first time, I guess, anybody's been over there. I mean, maybe Paul has, but this is a big deal for him. Mm. And he's going to be doing some more states touring, I guess, in the fall. I still need to catch him. He did do a show at the Fox a couple of months back. We're taping in August, so he would have been there in June. I haven't heard much about that concert other than that it was pretty good. A lot of different people. Todd Rundgren's in there, and some guys from Toto, some guys from Santana. It probably would have been a good show, but you've seen him before, right?
Yeah, I saw him twice. I think it was 2 years in a row, matter of fact. I saw him with Billy Preston and John Entwistle.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that would have been fun.
I believe those were two different years. I don't even really remember the lineup, but I know Billy Preston was with him, which is cool because Billy Preston's like one of the fifth Beatles because he's actually on Beatles. He's on Let It Be, and I think he's on the Hey Jude album because of the B-sides that they recorded during
the Right. Day. Yeah. He's released several albums in the time since McCartney's only released one. I don't know what that says, but I haven't heard any of his stuff. He keeps recording. The albums don't seem to sell that well, but he just loves to record.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard a Ringo album all the way through.
Oh, there's that one with Devil Woman on it. That the album cover has him in a spaceman suit and a big star. I wish I could remember the name of that. I have that one.
Was that the Day the Earth Stood Still cover?
Yes, yeah, yes.
That was the cover that was supposed to be a hint that the Beatles were going to get back together again. I remember that because somewhere there was a quote that said from Ringo that said the Beatles will get together when the Earth stands still. And then when that cover came out. But I'm pretty sure the quote probably followed the cover, but they just retroconned it into being before the cover.
Yeah. So you don't want to check out a Ringo album?
I don't know. Actually, kind of no. I might listen to the one with The Greatest. It might be called The Greatest.
Yeah, that's a good tune. Yeah, I like
because
that
song. That's the one with George and John on it. So that's kind of a Beatles reunion.
Yeah, that's a fun song. And so he plays that.
I might listen to that album because that's got some history to it. But I don't know. I'm not interested in his I don't know.
Well, Paul says "Back Off Boogaloo" is his favorite Ringo Starr song. Hmm. And that's a good song. Yeah, I'm not going to go out there and seek out the discography, Ringo, but people do love him. And there are and he's the, you know, and then you listen to his drums on Revolver, it's really impressive. His drums sound great on Revolver. Well, that's all I got this week. I guess this is the last official release we haven't done, so shall we think about doing the Firemen in the ensuing weeks?
You know, we've promised it. This could be our last episode, but we have promised that we were going to go back and do the ancillary stuff. And there's enough of it, so we might as well.
All right, well, that will be our project then for the ensuing weeks. We'll go back and revisit the Firemen. Now, the first two Firemen albums are pretty electronic, right?
So I'm told. I've never heard them.
Yeah. That's what I know the third one with Sing the Changes is more of a straightforward album.
Yeah, I think they convinced Paul to actually do vocals because I don't think there are any vocals. There are like minimal vocals on the first one, and I guess the first two.
Well, we'll have to look into that then. I wouldn't mind listening to them. And just so you know, Temporary Secretary is still in the set list for the 15th.
Oh boy.
So. But the highlight I'm looking forward to is Letting Go off Venus of Mars. He's been doing that lately. And I know we can sing that. That's not a stretch. But I was talking to Uncle John. I think he should retire, maybe. I'm amazed. What do you think?
I don't know. I know you still hold a grudge because of the Saturday Night Live performance.
Oh, that was terrible. I hate to say it, but it was just terrible. I don't think he can sing it anymore. I don't think he should do it. There's an online petition that wants him to stop touring because he's ruining all everybody's favorite songs.
Oh, that's a load of manure.
It has like 2,000 signers or something.
How come everybody on the internet is so hateful?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious, people.
That made the news about a week and a half ago, but I ignore that because he doesn't sound that bad. And with the full band there, they really supplement when he doesn't do something, you know, vocally. So I still think it's a must catch when he comes around live. I'm looking forward to the Grand Rapids show, so I guess we'll do a recap of that. And we'll do the Firemen, I guess. I guess that's the plan.
So that's the next one we do, the first Firemen album?
Yeah, why not? It's fine. Let's listen to it and see what we think.
I don't know how
much will we have to say about it if it's all electronic.
Yeah, we might combine the first two, maybe.
Yeah, I'll have to listen to the first one, and we'll get to talk about if we need to combine it with the second one.
Yeah, I have to go find a copy.
Well, I'm sure it's on Spotify.
That'd be helpful, if it is.
Because I know it's on Apple Music. So I'm sure it's on Spotify. Well, that's it. That's all I got this week. And we'll get out of here. And we'll see you guys in the future for the Firemen review and hopefully a concert wrap-up for the Grand Rapids show on August 15th. That'll do it. Oh, and check out... Oh, you should tell everybody where to find us. We haven't done that in a while.
We've done it. We haven't done it so long that I've forgotten them all. The website is thelongandwinyshow.com. You can find us at Facebook at Long and Whiny and on Twitter at Long and Whiny. And our email is podcast@thelongandwinyshow.com. Is that all of them? Did I forget?
That's it. Did you say Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, we got them all covered then. The I've Got a Beatles podcast has a new episode all about the Traveling Wilburys' Handle with Care song. They break down the song, and that's interesting, and check that out. And Dad Rocks, which is a USA podcast, has a episode devoted to Revolver. And that's fun, too, so check that out. And they got some Beatles, local Beatles musician on there as a guest. And He has his own feelings about the album, which is he's kind of interesting. But that's a good show to check. Those two shows are good to check out. That's all I got. We'll see you next time. All right. Bye.